Also ich finde das auch noch nicht viel, und das ein bisschen weiterhin textmäßig schon die
Yeah, he has informed the staff that he would be returning. There are apologies from the Honourable Jacobus, the Honourable Johnny Dalanga. Jacobus had an operation. The Honourable Dalanga, I understand, has been given leave until tomorrow. The Honourable Van Wyk will be joining us later. She's presently attending a police committee meeting. And the Honourable Diadi has also apologized. At our last meeting on Friday, the decision was taken that we should start with the clause by clause process of processing the bill. You will recall at that stage I did mention that there seemed to have been some firm agreements regarding some aspects that ought to be amended. One of the aspects related to removing the national interest and replacing it with national security. And those of you that were present from the time that we entered into that debate, which was some time ago, will recall that that in itself resulted in a number of consequential amendments to the bill throughout the bill. And the state law advisor at the time was informally instructed to do those consequential amendments and to present them to the committee just to have a look at, see what it was. There was also, I think, a firm agreement that the president, I think it is chapter 5, be deleted. The present chapter 5, as it appears in the original bill, related to clause 11 and clause 12, clause 11 relating to national interest and clause 12 relating to commercial interest. Clause 5 then having, if it is to be deleted, would also result in other consequential amendments, particularly to the numbering and also to the deletion of all reference to commercial information. Having said that, honourable members, allow me to test whether those agreements are still in place, whether there is any objections, and whether we can advise the state law advisor to affect those amendments in addition to what might follow in the rest of the meeting. I thought, to save time, that we don't get into this long debates again. Are those agreements still in place?
Yes.
Then the state law advisor is accordingly instructed to affect those amendments, particularly the consequential ones, so that we can once again just have a look and see how it affects the bill throughout the other clauses of the bill. And also particularly with the numbering, but I will request honourable members, when you refer to proposals to amend, to stick to the original bill, and you will recall I requested you to have a copy of the original bill with you so that we don't get confused when we refer to numbers and clauses. So we will refer now to the original bill and no working document when we propose any amendments to the original bill. The fact that clause 5 has been deleted does not mean that we now number some other clause 5. That will come when the state law advisor gives us the draft and how the final bill will look with all the proposed amendments. I would also propose that because the definition clause is a difficult clause to deal with, one normally would deal with that last because very often one comes across proposals for amendment in the bill which affects having to add a definition or delete a definition. And perhaps we should pass on the clause 1, which deals with definitions, save that we would look at the amendments, the consequential amendments that will result from the replacement of national interest with national security. Because I think we're going to be, if we spend time dealing with definitions now, we find that we're going to have to come back to the definition clause in any event. And I'd rather propose that we leave the definition clause. There are, however, what I thought might be also agreements, and that is that there is a section, the last section of the definition clauses, where we're dealing with minimum sentence. There is that section which we move to the offences clause. But I think when we deal with the definition clause, or when we get to the offences clause, we can look at that again. I think there was a feeling at some stage that that 1, 6 and some of the other clauses there, clause 1, subsection 6 under the definition, that that wasn't properly placed under the definition clause, that it should in fact move to the offences clause further on in the bill. Having said that, honourable members, if there is any comment, then we can move on. Yes, the honourable member.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, apologies for the late arrival on account of my having to speak at Trade and Industry and send the honourable Schwartz. Secondly, I may have missed your recap, but I think one of the points that I thought there was agreement on, as a matter of principle, that all debt which PAIA gave this bill must not take away. Then it was a matter of how the technicalities of working that out. Third, on the definition section, I hear what you're saying, and surely there is wisdom. However, I would propose a middle ground. Let's look at certain definitions which are critical. Because if there is agreement on certain definitions like national security, or there are two or three which are critical, then that will condition heavily the meaning of a critical section, critical clauses, as well as the need of proposing amendments to them.
Honourable members?
our national security. And therefore, can we, we would then support the idea of discussing your new definition in your ANC submission as against what is in working document 2, which is our position, as against what is in working document 1.
Honourable Abbasini, I think the issue relating to the PIA reached a stage where all the arguments were exhausted and the various options were looked at. And I think it came to a position where one had to decide. We had had all those discussions. And yes, I think the general intention is not to interfere with PIA to the extent that we go and amend PIA. That was really the understanding that we had. But, honourable members, I think if it's necessary, we might look at the definitions. But the whole question of national security, while we have an understanding that there would be this definition and there was interest, particularly in the ANC's definition, I'm just worried we're going to get stuck with a debate on that thing now. And while I hear what the Honourable Abbasini is saying, that it might be necessary to look at definitions, as we go along, yes, if it is necessary, Honourable Abbasini, I think we will look and see what the situation is. But I think on the question of national security and the definition there, we will come back to that, because I think there is a lot of input that the honourable members might want to make, particularly on the view expressed by the ANC. And I understand that the honourable Swartz also has something that he wanted to add there. So let's get back to that debate. We will get there. Can we move on to clause 2? Sorry, not chapter 2.
Why are you skipping the preamble when the ANC has a proposal in the preamble?
Honourable member, I think also the preamble and the titles and the chapter clauses, I think we could come back to that, and I don't think it would be, I don't think we're going to be losing much time if we came back to that later. There's nothing much that turns around there, and I think one would rather finish the bill and come back to these issues, the chapter clauses and the preamble, where there might be different thinkings after you've processed the bill.
Will you, however, allow me to give a counter-amendment, and I'll do it in writing after the meeting if you wish, to the ANC's proposal, your proposal being that there be included in the preamble reference to section 198 of the Constitution, and in particular the fact that the National Executive and Parliament have authority over security. I can't now find your document. But we would like to add to that. We will support that proposal, but we want to add to it, and we want to propose a deletion of something that is there. And I'll read it to you really fast, but then we have it typed up and circulated to you. And that is that the third component of the preamble ought to read, affirming the right of access to any information held by the state, because there is, of course, nothing of the sort described in the current preamble, the constitutional framework for the protection and regulation of access to information. I'm not aware of any such thing. So we propose affirming the right of access to any information held by the state as contemplated in Section 32 of the Constitution, affirming that national security must be pursued in compliance with the law, including international law, and that national security is subject to the authority of Parliament and the National Executive, as contemplated in Section 198 of the Constitution. That would be 198C and D. May I type that, have that typed up and circulated? via the secretary. So that I'm not accused that when we finally get to the preamble of not having raised this before.
I think, Honourable Member, for the very reason that you are now proposing something that was not in your proposal, is good reason why we should leave that for later. But certainly, if
Chair,
you
my,
do...
I beg your pardon. My submission said we leave the entire preamble till later.
Yes.
You, however, made a concrete proposal, and I now want to add to your concrete proposal. I precisely said we'll discuss the preamble later.
We are not in disagreement, Honourable Member. All that we're saying is that we will deal with it later and you will submit your amendments to that, to the secretary so that it can be circulated. That then done, and we will deal with that once we have finished. The board will come back to the preamble. Honourable members, on your original bill now, we're hearing the definitions, we're going to the objects clause. There is a proposal from the ANC relating to clause to subparagraph J.
I didn't follow the argument on page 3 of your document, but I presume you omitted the words be amended or something along those lines, and the intention there to include the references to the Protective Disclosures Act and the Companies Act.
What has been said there, Honourable Member, is that presently clause 2. J reads, in the original bill, harmonize the implementation of this act with the Promotion of Access to Information Act and National Archives and Records Services of South Africa Act 1996, 43 of 1996. And the proposal is to delete that. And there has been discussion on that.
I don't see that reading in the agency's wording, but I presume you want to add to your wording in the document.
The proposal is that it be deleted.
Why, sir, on what argument?
Why do you want to delete it?
sorry, Honourable Abrasini.
Can someone motivate?
You see, I mean, your submission actually says quite the opposite. It says it needs more references. It's not as comprehensive and inclusive of all the laws that you ought to be in harmony with, instead of which you now want to ditch the whole lot. And we're waiting for someone to tell us what the other ones were.
I think that what has been said is that if you're going to refer to these laws only, there are other laws that you might not be, that you might not be aware of that, that you want to say this act should be in harmony with, and because of that, the list can be can perhaps not be exhaustive, and you might be saying something here that you don't really want to accomplish. Why just these laws? And what harm has there been done when these matters are being addressed? There's no reason to give specific preference to these laws only, because in order for us to see which laws might be affected, it would be a real impossible task. And you're only dealing with objects. Surely it cannot be an object that this bill is trying to harmonize the whole range of statutory law.
On the contrary, sir, we would argue that it is precisely crucial. Not for nothing have we spent many months discussing the fact that on our argument, for example, any information law ought to fit like a puzzle piece next door to the fire. It is therefore important to say so, that it must harmonize with the implementation of the fire. That is anyway the position we now take as a committee, and therefore it's not problematic. It also ought to harmonize with the National Archives and Records Services Act of South Africa, because that is in fact how government departments deal with their documentation. The other laws I can think of that you may think that you may wish to include are the Public Disclosures, the Companies Act, anything dealing with public interest overrides. But then it is surely our job as legislators to put them all in rather than just to take this out.
Honourable Member, are you suggesting an amendment?
I actually think it's all right the way it stands, because it stipulates the two main acts around which this, within which, that set the parameters within which this one should operate. I wouldn't object to the inclusion of the PDA and the Companies Act. But I'm not going to propose the amendment. It was your idea in your document. Whoever wrote it may furnish you with the information.
To assist your dilemma, would it be too vague to add the words "and any other applicable legislation"? Or would that be too vague? Because my understanding is that having read this, that the need is to harmonize it with the acts that we also inserted, which weren't there in the previous draft, which is the Protective Disclosures Act, which is a reference to the Companies Act. But my proposed wording might also be a little, it then makes it wider, but it might also be a bit vague, I'm not sure. Just to say that we would prefer that harmonizing to remain in, particularly because of the emphasis on fire throughout and the whole the debate around this act and fire. That to us is very crucial.
Honourable Member, the proposal here from the one document of the ANC that I have before me is to delete. Can we agree then at least that the state law advisor be instructed to deal with your alternative, and that they come back to us with the two alternatives, the one that is delete the other one, that your that this thing be included to add in any other law.
That would be a way forward, Chet. But maybe we can just, if there's a fault in your document, so in other words, you are saying we must insert words into the ANC document, that it must be deleted, because that's not
it's
how
not
I read your document now. So maybe you can just help us. We will all have to amend our documents as we go along, but there's no word delete in the ANC document.
Honourable Member, that is my understanding of what they're trying to say here, is that you're trying to harmonize here. You suppose that reference to harmonization referred to in J. It's not comprehensive. You know, it's not including all the laws that they possibly, that you could possibly harmonize. And it certainly implied that because of that reason it should be deleted.
Or added to.
There's an alternative is that it should be added to, because there's no verb in that sentence. That is my dilemma. You would know what you intend there. Either you can delete, or to cover your problem of not being inclusive, you add a clause that says, and any other applicable legislation.
Yes, Honourable
Mr. Chairman, I'm quite sure that neither the security nor the liberty of the realm turns on it. So I suggest we flag it and move on.
Although what Mr. Chambersin is in ringtones is so. Let's go with Advocate Swart's proposal. Let's do the two options. Thank you.
Let's do the two options and move on.
And I'd like to address you more to the point on our position on Clause 2, the objects of the Act.
So the state law advisor, you are instructed to firstly deal with the deletion of 2J and to put in alternative the reference that has come from the Honourable Swart.
And so maybe just to advise, not lengthy, but would it be too vague, my suggestion, to add a sub-clause? It would just be and any other applicable legislation. That might be too vague. Maybe they can just advise us without necessarily giving a very lengthy opinion, but just as to whether that is acceptable or not.
Honourable Member, I think you need to be asking the state law advisor to come back and advise on whether that particular amendment would have the necessary effect that you want to give it to be, without having any legal problems attached to it. I think that would be addressed in the... And we don't want the state law advisor to be talking either. He must make notes, take down what has been.
Absolutely.
So they will come back and advise on whether your amendment is a good one or not. The Honourable...
As you will see on our amendment, we propose the entire deletion of lines 4 through 14. In objects of the Act, we're talking about clause 2. The entire first half should be deleted. And the reason is the following. It is our belief that this bill should deal with the classification of state information. It should not deal with that far broader endeavor which the bill tries to reinstate from the myth. Let me remind you, if I may, that state information under this bill is all information generated, acquired, or received by all organs of state, or in the possession or control of all organs of state. That is not just government departments, but anybody. That is state information. Valuable information, and I've said to you from the start, sir, that this bill deals with two kinds of things. Information that ought to be classified for the sake of national security. And secondly, something called valuable information, to which whole chapters are devoted. And valuable information is quite simply something that you mustn't throw away because you might need it again later. Look at the definition. Valuable information means the information that should be retained for later use or reference. And that the alteration, loss, or destruction of such information is likely to impede or frustrate the state in the conduct of its functions and deny the public or individual a service or a benefit to which they are entitled. It is our contention that it is not the poor intelligence minister's burden to look after everybody's paperwork and what they mustn't throw away in case they need it again later. His only job is national security. That is also now his position. But the bill continues to deal with all information in the hands of the state. And protection in this bill still means two things. It means classifying from disclosure information that deserves it on the basis of national security. But protection also means information where you mustn't destroy or lose it, because it's something you may need again later, like a recipe that proved to be a success. And it is for that reason that we say take out the entire first half of the optics of this Act. Cut to the chase, go straight to classification, which starts in subsection 2G. The objects of the Act are to provide for the classification and declassification of classified information, create a system for the review thereof, regulate the accessibility of declassified information, harmonize the implementation, the thing we've just discussed, establish a national declassification database, criminalize espionage and activities hostile to the Republic, repeal the Protection of Information Act of 1982. In the first set of alphabetical numbers, the only one you might want to retain are B, promote transparency and accountability in government, while recognizing that state information may be protected from disclosure in order to safeguard, it used to be the national interest, it will now be security. But the rest is all about this filing clerk business that the poor intelligence minister really ought not to have to do, and which he doesn't want, and which doesn't work anyway, because you can see the state of Home Affairs and many other departments. It's not as though the system has worked.
Honourable Member, Abrosini.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to have the debate when they arise, and the Honorable Knapp is placing this item on the agenda now. It arises now for the first time in the first section. If we dispose of it now, then we don't need to discuss it when all the other sections, all the other clauses are involved by the same debate. And now the old proverb says, "Guta cavat lapidem," the drop excavates the stone. And I've heard this from the Honorable Svart many, many times, as we all have. I don't have a problem with the fact that there should be legislation in a country which identifies information which is valuable and must be preserved for posterity. I mean, that legislation must exist. So my immediate reaction in looking at this bill is that, you know, it's fine. We need to have this legislation. We don't have it. However, we must acknowledge that the Honorable Smart has a compelling, in my opinion, has a compelling point that we cannot get around. The Minister of Intelligence doesn't have the expertise in determining what is valuable. It's a complete different set of criteria. We're looking about historical information, not that which, if revealed, is going to create a harm to the Republic. We are dealing with the fact that in this very parliament, nobody can find proposals for private members' bills because the minutes are thrown away. So, and that's valuable. Now, this is an archive function. The criteria are identifying what is going to be important for posterity, what we want to remember. It's the corporate memory as a country, within the state and outside the state. Imposing obligation on the private sector to maintain information which we as a country want to maintain. It's a complete different function. So I think that if that is correct, what the Honorable Smart is saying should be heard very clearly. It is necessary, we should have it, doesn't belong here, should be a function of the Minister of Arts and Culture under the archives to establish this important function.
Honourable members, do we have a third, a second amendment here? Can I propose, Honourable Smuts, for the sake of progress, that your proposal be included as a second amendment to the one of Mr. Swartz, and that the state law advisor be instructed then accordingly to deleting clauses, is it F? 2F? Sorry, 2B. 2B.
2A, 2F. You can delete line 4, 3, 4, 2.
But what clauses, what clauses does that involve? It involves 2A.
2A, 2A.
Let's start doing it properly, sir. I move the deletion of line, in fact, 3, line 3, 3, 4, 2.
Well, the unlawful disclosure, sorry, Mr. Chairman, for you.
2A, sir, 2F, the last part, unlawful disclosure, is fine. Define the nature of categories of information that may be protected from.
Honourable Rossini, with respect, we're trying to get clarity on what it is that the Honourable Smuts wants. If you've got something in addition to that, it's going to have to be an additional amendment, unless you want to tag on the Honourable Smuts's amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying through you to point out to the Honourable Smuts that in order to achieve what I understand they're trying to achieve, she only needs to delete from 2A the words destruction loss and leave unlawful disclosure, because she doesn't have a problem with unlawful disclosure.
Yeah, but Mario, just leave it, because, I mean, what will do that job, defining the nature and categories, is the definition of national security. I don't want people writing categories. That's the job given to the minister at the moment in Chapter 3. I actually don't want it. He doesn't want it either.
Honourable member, can we get clarity? Honourable Smuts. So you're not deviating on from there?
No.
Give us what it is that you are proposing, Honourable Member.
Delete line 3 through 14.
Because your document says 4 to 14, so 3. Okay, law advisors are instructed to delete 3 to 14, including both 3 and including both 14, as a second alternative to the proposal of the Honourable Swartz. That deals then with the objects clause, Honourable Member.
Yes.
Okay. Our amendment, if you would, subclause 2B, replace the word interest with the word security. I'm sure it's quite self-evident, in line with what we agreed, and it's not to be motivated.
That would be then. That would be a further amendment, a further proposal to the original proposal.
Okay.
This would be a third alternative.
What we've agreed upon, and it's consistent. It says wherever there is national interest, that will be replaced with something narrower. Is this not in terms of that, or is this a further amendment?
No, it's consequential, but I'm just pointing it out.
Those are the unfortunate consequential problems you pick up when the Honourable Abrasini comes late. Honourable Abrasini, that matter has been dealt with.
No, I heard you, but what you discussed, Mr. Chairman, was public interest. public interest is out, and you said let's deal with the consequential amendments of public interest. Here we are dealing with the with national interest. I think it's the same. But okay.
Well, that has been dealt with. Can we then understand, Honourable Member Abrosini, that you don't have any proposal to the object schools?
If so, please assume, Mr. Chairman.
Not in the court of law,
Honourable Member, it is not fair to please me, Honourable Member. Can we then go on to the application clause, which is clause 3?
Just on clause 2 for the moment, please. In the proposal,
Honourable Member, if I might ask, are you going to differ with your colleague on the DA position?
No, I'm not going to differ.
Okay, proceed.
It's not our policy to do that. Referring to clause J, to the proposal with the changes there, I would like to request to you, Honourable Chair, if we can have a sort of briefing by the archives regarding archives and the keeping of the records there also, because it has an important part in the classification of documentation. And I think that would help the committee seeing, you know, where it comes in and what the essentials of archives and their role in classification documentation is.
Honourable Member, you will recall that the archives were presenting at the public hearings. We had Mr. Archivist, here himself, presenting to us on a whole range of things, on the staff, on the problems, on the challenges. And I think it's going to be most unfortunate now if you want to take us back to that situation. If you look in your documents, amongst your documents, you will find precisely what the archive's position is regarding the information bill. They saw challenges, but my understanding of the position was they certainly would try their best to accommodate their role that they have to play in the legislation. So I don't know what is it more that you want to hear from them. Yes, Honourable Member.
I would very much like to hear from them, sir, because it'll assist the committee in the matter of the two kinds of information. All government departments already work under the National Archives and Records Services Act in respect of the valuable information that everybody is worried about, as Dr. Ambrosini is worried about the historical legacy. And they also have interesting specific functions in respect of classified information. So I think having the debate now having ripened, if you will, I think it would be extremely useful to talk to the archivist about a matter which we have not resolved amongst ourselves, and therefore it could illuminate the question to what degree you need the intelligence minister to be fussing about ordinary paperwork as opposed to classified paper.
The Honourable Fisher.
Thank you, Conche. Honourable Chair, my worry on this debate is that we seem to be moving in circles to the extent that some members even forget what their argument, original argument was on an issue.
How's that?
Who's
that?
We are not moving forward. That's my problem. We are making amendments after amendment after amendment, and we are literally saying that now the ANC has no argument, you have the argument. We are literally stripping the ANC of all its arguments. That's what they are doing here. Because every day, every meeting that we meet here, we are bringing amendments, they are changing all the arguments that ANC. I do not know whether you want to go forward, whether we do not want to go forward. We are marching, not in time. That's what we are doing here.
Honourable Kutsi.
Mr. Chair, thank you. With all respect, I think my colleague Kuchler has lost it a bit, but it's his problem. You will recall that at a time when we were hearing in the public hearings, I want to state that not 10% of the members currently here present attend those meetings. If you recall that, we were only a few of us, I think, the maximum. Don't interrupt me, I didn't interrupt you when you speak. So we were about four of us that was present there.
How many
members?
How many members?
So much.
Just one thing. I like to make sure that when honorable members address one another, that it's done in a very respectful manner. And I didn't interfere with you, Honorable Kutsi, when you referred to the Honorable Fichler as having lost it. I don't know what you meant by that, but I let it go. We were not being disrespectful for the Honorable Fichler. I let it go. I'm fully in charge, Honorable Kutsi. If I think there's something happening in the meeting that is unprocedural, that's disrespectful, I would intervene, and it was certainly my right to intervene to call the Honorable Fichler to order while you were talking. Because if you do those things, and I have to allow anybody else to do those things, we lose control of the procedures, and we start to lose respect for one another then. So, Honorable Member, without wanting to be too formalistic about the processes and the procedures, you can rely on me to intervene when there's a wrong taking place. You can continue, Honorable Member.
Thank you, sir. With respect, when the Honorable Fichler was talking, I didn't say a word. And on that specific point, I expect your protection, Mr. Chair. And that's why I helped myself, because I didn't receive it from you.
But Honorable Member, you know, there's no self-help in meetings. No, there's no such thing. You would be out of order trying to help yourself. You refer to me, Honorable Member, and I will help you. Can we hear your further matter?
Thank you, sir. That's why I try to sort of motivate the request on the archives to sort of do a presentation to this committee to clarify the things. Because there might be other questions that the current members would like to ask the archives about. And as I said, there's hardly any of us that attend the public meetings that are here present today.
Honourable Member, I think absence at the public hearings is no reason to come to a conclusion that the Honourable Members are not familiar with the arguments and that they have not familiarized themselves with the contents of the documents and the whole question of the archives. I'm sure Honourable Members of the ANC would not have persisted to proceed with this matter if they were not properly informed. So I don't know that you speak for people that were perhaps absent. Those that were absent would know that it is their duty to familiarize themselves with the work that they've missed. And I certainly take it that ANC members that were not there have done so. Honorable Member, there seems to be no support for this thing. But can we? Yes, Honorable.
So it was just a plain request. It didn't mean to be a discussion on it. You know, with all respect, we could just have asked if it's a consensus of the committee to hear it, yes or no. And we could have moved on long further than what we're debating at this point in time.
Honourable Member. The Honourable could see at the Honourable... supported by the Honourable Dean Smuts, wants to have the archives come and brief us. They're looking for consensus. Is there general consensus that should take place? The Honourable Fichler has already given his voice to the matter, seems not to agree. Yes, Honourable Abercini, you support consensus. We don't need a debate on the matter. You're supporting the Honourable Kutsi.
Can I justify why?
You don't have to do
it. May I motivate, may I declare?
Mm-hmm. No.
because what we're trying to establish whether this will happen or not.
I think we only have to gain, yes.
Honourable members, can I put it this way? Can we park that thing, and if necessary, when we have finalized the whole question of the bill, that we come back to it, and if they, at the moment you don't have consensus, at the moment you're not going to get the support of the ANC on this thing, but I'm not willing to rule that is the final matter on it. I'm quite happy to say let's come back to this at the end and see whether you have not then, during the process of processing the bill, been able to persuade the comrades on the ANC side that it is necessary to look into that thing. So I'm not closing the topic. Can we move on then on the understanding? We'll come back and you can see if you have persuaded your comrades or your ANC committee members to look into the thing again. And maybe then you might have convinced them. But at this stage, we're not going to call for any briefings from the archives. Can we then move on to the application clause? That would be the original clause 3. Are you wanting to be heard on the front?
Sir, I'm actually dying to hear the ANC on it, because it is clear to me from the ANC submission that there is a gesture in the direction of the DA's position, which I will recap in a minute. But I would very dearly like to hear someone speak to the ANC proposal, which tries to meet us. I regret to say unsuccessfully, but it does try to meet us. It is our position, of course, that the application should be simply to government departments, which is what the miss mainly is. But in the new bill, that it should be applicable to government departments charged with intelligence or divisions of departments dealing with security and intelligence, including foreign affairs. And that is just a fairly relaxed form of drafting, but that is the idea. I won't entertain you to our view, which you have heard now many times, that it is unconstitutional to make this bill applicable to all organs of state. And should the bill go through in that form, we will be petitioning the President not to assent to the bill if it is legislated by this House and the other House in this form. We consider it unconstitutional. So our proposal remains what it was, that the application should be narrowed simply to intelligence. And of course the Minister's position is that it should deal quite simply with intelligence, personnel, structures, modus operandi, and so forth. So we are in the interesting position where our position and that of the Minister are very close. And all that remains to be discussed is, whereas international relations certainly need some classification, whether science and technology does, that to me is the interesting discussion. But I would be awfully keen to hear the ANC on their proposal on page 3 of their new document.
The Honourable Swartz.
Jay, in our submission as well, we would support a narrower definition of organ of state as we set out to mean Security and International Affairs Department. If that's not acceptable, which we would also punt for, and we would suggest that would be an option that we could insert, and we'd also like to hear, we do also agree that this does genuinely seem to be a move from the ANC side to make it more narrow, which we appreciate, but we'd also like to just hear the motivation on that ANC document, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are three aspects to this clause. It's applying to the intelligence matters only, which would include departments or segments of departments which deal with those matters. number one. Number two, applying to all organs of state. And number three, applying to all the organs of state and juristic and natural persons. And the latter is the position of the bill as it stands. The thrust of our argument is that we don't care as much whom it applies to as we do care about what it is that applies. Our emphasis is in defining the limits to secrecy. Our emphasis is in defining the exceptions to secrecy, the defenses and all that. And once that is in place, if that is in place, then the broader application is mitigated. If a private denial or a private company invents and develops the doomsday machine, it better be subjected to the obligation of having it classified. So at this juncture, we have not proposed any amendment. But if our proposals to have clauses which protect rationality and liberty were to fall, then we would be forced to question the scope of application, because we would need to shift from our emphasis from the exceptions and the defenses to actually narrowing the scope of application to reach a similar result of not making it excessively burdensome on the side of secrecy.
Are you complaining about the proposal of the ANC on the privacy?
I wouldn't. No, not necessarily.
Because
my point is that this is almost a consequential. And I know that we need to go like this, but the scope of application of the Act, it greatly depends on what the Act is. If the Act is what it is written now, I've got a big problem. If the Act becomes what we hope to make it be, then I'm not that concerned about the application, and I can go with the ANC proposal.
Honourable members, I've got the proposal of the ANC which was circulated. And if I understand the proposal correctly, it is saying, in inverted commas there on page 3, that a clause be added under section 3.1. And that clause should be a clause 3.1c. And then they've got open inverted commas, all security services as contemplated in Chapter 11 of the Constitution. And I think what has been asked here is that in addition to the application of the Act, that it be specifically stated that the Act applies to your security services. Because later on, I think the point is made that where with the exemption clause, that these are not people that can apply for an exemption. The Honourable Swartz?
Hey, I must say, with due respect, I don't understand the proposal, because all security services in Chapter 11 relates to defence, police and intelligence. Now those clearly come under your 1A, which are organs of state. So it's repeating, in other words, what is already there, unless you differ from me on that. But organs of state would cover those three areas. So if you want to add it for emphasis purposes, but you understand that they would be covered under one. you might find a way of adding it, of wording it, if you want to emphasize those areas. But to me, it's already covered by 1A. It would be nice if you were going to narrow it down to those areas, then I could support you more. But I do think it is, and you might differ from me, but it might be a degree of repetition. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, it is clearly tautological. You can't say this thing applies to all organs of state. All organs of state is everything under the sun, you know. You can't say this thing applies to all organs of state and then add one of the things that is an organ of state as a subclause B and think that the problem has been cured. I express again my appreciation for what looks like a gesture from the ANC in our direction. But it is simply tautological. The security structures are themselves organs of state. So legally it doesn't work, but I want to ask you another question. Why are you putting the Defence Force and the police in here when, I mean, you know, the ANC of all people should know perfectly well that the Defence Force and the police have said they want no part of this act. You should also know that they have their own acts under which they classify. And I've given you some academic articles and references as part of our submission, which refers to how they have dealt with the matter of building a puzzle piece to fit in next to the fire. They've done it successfully. The Defence Force and the police, and even the SAT, as I understand it, have their own classification systems. They have their own protocols for dealing with these things. So, I mean, you know, is anybody talking to anybody else in the government and in the ANC if you put suggestions like this in front of us? You don't seriously mean all security services contemplated in Chapter 11, because the military and the police already do their own thing, which is why the minister said what he wanted to deal with was intelligence, operative structures, modalities. So I appreciate the gesture, but it doesn't work either legally or in practice, and I imagine that you would have an uproar or an uprising amongst government departments if this were to go through.
Honourable Abrastini. Mr. Chairman, it pains me to disagree with the Honourable man, but I want to, not factually, but from a legal viewpoint, I think it's important that this bill applies to the police and the defense forces and overrides the existing legislation which applies to the police and defense forces. Otherwise, the type of guarantees for freedom and liberty which collegially we want to enshrine in this bill will not apply there where the threats are at greatest. I think that a country like South Africa, more than many others, should be alive to the risk of allowing the defense forces and the police to operate in under secrecy. So if we do it right, a good bill which strikes that balance between secrecy and freedom, that surely should apply to everyone.
Chairman, Dr. Ambassini read the Defence Act. The Defence Act is fine. They work alongside the fire. And you know as well as I do that this one is not going to come out right. Why on earth do you want to drag other laws that are constitutional into this?
Because I hope it will come out.
Into this marshland.
It won't. Honourable members, this conversation is becoming private now. The proposal is to add that particular section. I'm quite happy if you are feeling quite sensitive about this matter, Honourable Smuts, to adjourn for 10-15 minutes to allow the ANC to consider this and then to come back.
Yes, would you also, because clearly there would be conflict of laws then between, if you do insert that, conflict of laws between this Act and the Police Act and the Defence Act, and then you might want to consider 1.3, which is a provision which allows for conflict of laws. A reasonable interpretation is permissible. But would you also consider just the tautological aspect, whether to repeat, organs of state includes already. So even if you don't put those words in, we still face with the dilemma that those acts will still apply.
That's a legal opinion of
Sure, we're grappling with it ourselves.
The legal opinion is whether what is referred to in Chapter 11 are all organs of state, or, you know. But let's adjourn for 15 minutes. We come back at 25 to 1. The ANC wants to look at this position. Honourable members, the concern that was raised when we adjourned was that the proposal that was on the that came from the ANC, which was to add a clause C under clause 3.1. And that clause C should read, all security services as contemplated in Chapter 11 of the Constitution. It seems that from the discussion that took place, that some were saying that it is repetitious. And therefore unnecessary, and other speakers were saying it was tautologous. A complicated word, I know, that comes from the sphere of logic and philosophy. I'm not going to propose a meaning. Safe to say, I think that it is already covered in the previous clauses. But there were further concerns raised by the Honourable Smuts, and that was that some of the entities mentioned in Chapter 11 already have their own laws that deal with the classification process, and that there had been there had been statements made by the Minister of State Security that the bill would be narrowed down to refer only to the intelligence services, if I understood the Honourable.
No, I understood the Minister.
Yes, Honourable Member. I check merely to check whether I'm not mistaking you. Those were the issues that had come up, and the ANC had requested the time out in order to consider the position on this proposal or this amendment. So
Is there a answer, honourable members? I see the hand of the honourable Fichler. Yes, honourable Fichler.
Yes. Thank you, honourable chair. We, as the ANC, after considering the proposals that have been made and the arguments that have been raised by the various committees, we felt that there is a need for further consideration on this issue by the ANC so that we come common approach on this clause, and therefore we are proposing that we adjourn the meeting so that we have further consideration in consultation on this issue. Thank you.
Is my understanding then that the clause, the proposed amendment, is withdrawn until such time that further consultation takes place, honourable member?
Now, what we are saying is that let us be allowed to have further consideration and consultation on this issue before we can take any decision, final decision.
Yes, honourable. I know you're going to be pleased.
Chair, I just wanted it will be very helpful to us because we have to prepare for this afternoon's debate. So we support that. Thank you, Chair.
The Honourable Abrasini. Are there any other people to speak on the matter? Honourable members, then allow me first to talk to the State Law Advisor. State Law Advisor, the matters that have been referred to you, I take it you have captured it and written down. The last proposal under Clause 3 is not then to be considered. But all the proposals that was put to you that you are to, the amendments that you are to make and report back then to the next meeting. And then show the committee just how, particularly the consequential amendments, would apply throughout the bill, and also those alternatives which some of the honourable members have proposed on some of the particular clauses. Honourable members, the question of the next meeting, if I remember the program, that the next meeting is 24 May. I know that our last meeting I read you a letter which was a circular from the chair of the house and the chief whip of the majority party indicating that no meetings would take place during the particular period that I referred to. What we are looking at, and this was also a request from the Honourable Dean Smuts, that perhaps after the 24th there would be an opportunity to insert further meetings, particularly during the extended public hearings, but again we will look at what is the availability of the members of, just to make sure that we don't inconvenience any honourable members. And so I think that also was the understanding when the program was changed, so I will sit down with the staff and look at that to see how it would be possible to incorporate more meetings into the program after we come back. We are going for quite a lengthy period, and when we come back we would have finished with the elections. I would also request honourable members, please, If there is some matter in the documents that is before you, whoever you may be, whatever political party you may come from, please consult the parties outside. If the issue is an important one that you want clarity on, you can use the secretary of the committee to do that for you. You can write letters, you can write memorandums, and it can be circulated. If you don't want it to be circulated amongst other political parties because you want to enter into alliances with certain ones, then so let it be. But yeah, I'm just worried that some of the stuff that gets discussed here is things that we can discuss in the corridor. You know, things that you can discuss at the political level with political parties, and that you can get clarity there so that you know when you come here that we can spend our time more exhaustively really dealing with the matters of amendments and how we can enhance the bill. So don't be scared to engage your political colleagues on a level outside of the committee. And also I would want to encourage you to look at some of these documents. Also look at the documents of the archives and see, because I would like all parties, when it comes to the question of archives that I've shelved for some for a later discussion, that you remind yourselves what really was discussed earlier on. Honourable members, if there aren't any further contributions, I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and this meeting is so adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.